Grab your Bibles and go to, let's start off at Romans 1 and 7. We're still talking about faith here. Romans 1, 17. Because I want our people, you in an incredible season. Whether you know it or not. It's going to take you ignoring God and ignoring instruction. The truth of it is, I'll just start from the beginning of the year. All you got to do is go back from the beginning of the year, New Year's Eve, and everything God said was going to happen this year has already happened to some degree. Just one sermon. All of it's done happen. Right? Just like he said it. Right? So in Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God. How is it revealed? How is it revealed? Through intercession. Through prayer. All those are the tools that get you into a place of faith where you can hear from God. From faith to faith, and then he says, as it is written, if you don't read your Bible, you're going to struggle to get faith to come to you. And then you're going to be looking with your face twisted all the time, but really, you your problem. Ooh-wee. You're your problem because you're trying to access the things of God by some other way. And you're going to do it the same way everybody else do it, or you're going to struggle. And you're going to get whooped down here, and you're going to be unhappy and depressed. But if a person who lived by faith, they are happy because they're kicking the devil in the rump. They are winning. And I don't want to be down here for no 50 more years losing all the time. Tell somebody, say, I'm a winner. I ain't losing. I may take an L here and there, but I guarantee you it ain't going to be no consistent loss. I serve a God who can do anything. Why am I losing all the time? I might lose a quarter. I might lose a half. I ain't losing the game. But he says the just live by what? By crying. By moaning. Father, think through my mind, speak through my mouth, that your people be edified, you be glorified after hearing the word of truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I ask for the anointing. I ask for utterance. I ask for you to do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Tell somebody, say, this is going to be real good. Stay awake with your sleepy self. Shouldn't stay up watching all them dumb movies all night. I actually want to be talking to you today about, it is faith time, but walking with God. Say, walking with God. I ain't got my headset today, so I'm going to have to kind of stay put a little bit. But it's okay. We're going to get there. Amen? So when you're talking about, last week we were talking about don't stop. Keep moving by faith. I don't care if it's just a little bit. You still got to keep moving. You cannot be in the place. This is an incredible season. It looks ugly for other people. It's a setup for you. Definitely like with the economy. I keep talking about the economy because some of us are economically so behind, and we will not capitalize on this opportunity that God has put before some of us to catch up like real fast. And we listening to what the world say, and God is saying, you looking at it wrong. That's your opportunity. The houses are going to come down. The prices of houses going to come down. Don't listen to these dumb talking about this ain't no time to buy no house. Say, that's my house right there. That one right there, God had it built to my specifications, and you paid for all of it, and now it's time for me to move in. I'm sorry, but don't leave nothing up in there because I don't want to clean up behind you. Say, that's my house. It's a great opportunity for the people of God, even people who've been sick. All this depression stuff. Man, I'm going to tell you, when you start hearing God talk about what he's going to do for you and you start walking in, it kicks that stuff right out your mind. It kicks your, I don't need to talk to you about no problem because I ain't got no problem. Say, I'm winning over here. And that's how you overcome the devil. It ain't with a whole bunch of talking to people about things. It's talking about God, and then we're going to show you how to, you got to put some action behind it, and when you get the action, then you get the results. In other words, you can talk to God all you want to, but if you don't get up and do something, your faith is still dead, and you ain't going to get no results because you just had a conversation. And you partly listened, because if you'd have listened well, then you would have knew when you got up, you had something to do. You walking with God. Say, I'm walking with God. The Bible talks about that if we'll do this, that faith isn't just talking and confessing. Faith is about obtaining. It gives you the ability to obtain. It's a big part of what we do, Sister Sarah, but that's not all it is to it, meaning that you just can't be no talker. You got to be a doer. Say, I'm a doer. Say, I'm a doer. I'm a doer of the word of God. You can't say it because you know you ain't doing it. Say, I'm a doer. You can hide all you want to. I still see you. Say, I'm a doer. I'm a doer. I'm a doer of the word of God. And when you see Christians failing, they not doers. Because only doers get results. Now, you can take that to the bank all you want to. If you're not doing anything, you can expect God to get involved in something. I'm going to show you how this actually works, because a lot of us are just sitting back, because faith is a matter of fact. It's when you get something from God, you don't got to rehearse it and bring it through 50 different people. It's a matter of fact. If God said it, because people say, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. No, God said it, that settles it. He said, my word I've settled in heaven and the earth. If God said it, that settles it. Now, if you ain't getting it, that's your fault. You're doing something wrong. And my job as the preacher is to teach you how to do it. Because it's too many of y'all. I can't do it for all of y'all. Matter of fact, I ain't doing it for none of y'all. I'm teaching you how to do it. You're going to learn how to fish for yourself around here. Say, I'm going to fish for myself. So it's time to move beyond just singing about faith. Churches sing great songs about faith, talking about faith, preaching about faith. No results. Nobody questioned it. Because we've been trained not to question the absence of manifestation. You should question that. I don't care how they preach. I don't care how they hum. And I think that's why God gave me, he didn't really give me no hoop. No, you know, sometimes when people in a cave, I can get you out. But that, I ain't going to do that every week. Because we get trained like that, and we get settled for an experience in church with no proof. So you got to do something. Tell somebody, you got to do something. You're going to struggle around here if you ain't willing to do it for yourself. So you can't just be talking about it and praying about it. He said it's time for the people of God to start living by faith again. Say that three times. Living by faith again. Living by faith again. So we're sitting on our faith. Faith must be operated in. You got to operate. You got to do something with it. You got to move with it. You got to get up and go with something. You got to confess something. You got to get up and walk when you don't feel like walking. You got to lay your hands on your own head when you call yourself having some headache. Put your hand on your own stomach. You got to get up and go to work when the devil's telling you you're sick. And you say, no, I went to bed fine. So something happened between me laying down and me getting up. So I figure I just lay my hand on my own self and get back straight and go to work. You understand what I mean? Because God blesses my labor. I can't lay here in the bed all day. Tell somebody, say, get up. That's just an excuse. It needs to be. I'm talking to Christians. I ain't talking about unsaved people. I don't lead unsaved people. I'm trying to lead people who profess to be saved. Are you born again? A few of y'all. I'm going to have an altar call in a minute, but I'm going to preach to my people who saved first. Are you born again? Okay. We'll get the rest of y'all saved in a minute. So we don't just want to listen to God. We want to walk with God. You remember that song, Walk With Me, Lord? Go to Genesis 5, please. Walk with me, Lord. No, you walk with him. I understand what they were saying, but you walk with the Lord. The Bible talks about that Enoch walked, 5:24, that Enoch walked with the Lord. He walked. One of the first, we know Adam did it because it talks about that God used to meet him in the cool of the day, and Adam used to walk with God. Uh-huh. Sin came in that kind of dismantled it from that standpoint, but God showed us that even after the fall, and me, and because Enoch wasn't Adam, Enoch wasn't born a perfect man like Adam was. So Enoch, like us, figured out a way to walk with God, and he didn't even know death. Now, him not knowing death, Sister Deaconess Sanders, is a type of our eternal life today. Meaning the only way that you make it to heaven is that you have to come to God by faith. And he made a way that we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ through grace that we can be saved. But Enoch does this, and Enoch is walking with God. How is he walking with God? He's walking with God by the faith that God has given him. He's moving with God by faith, and the Bible says he did not know death, right? Because the only way you escape death in this life is that you got to use your own faith for salvation. And he did not know death like we know it, and he got translated up. Now, this is so powerful when you think about it. He is doing these things. He's showing us a picture of how we're supposed to move with God right now. Walking with God. Say, I'm going to walk with the Lord. So we don't just want to listen to God. Many people, they can tell you what God's saying, and their life look like nothing. I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about people who got these badges, apostles and prophets, and they can't get nothing to work. Because, and guess what? A lot of times, y'all call yourself running to them, but when they people want to get a breakthrough, they run to me. Because after a while, all you doing, Sister India, got all these words built up and you ain't walking them out. Eventually what happens, what eventually happens? You start doubting those words are even true, and they were God labeled, meaning they came from God. And you let them, people are letting them go because they don't say, walk with me, God. They don't understand that they got to walk it out. You don't just shout it out. You don't just run it out. You got to tell somebody to say, walk it out. So we got to be a doer of the things of God. And that's why James was talking about in James, I believe it's chapter 1, he's talking about faith without works is dead. It's dead. Do you got a living faith or a dead faith? And you can spot living faith because living faith rests on a living face. Dead faith rest on, because they're in unbelief. They don't think nothing going to get better for them. They can talk all that junk they want to. They don't believe it. Because what you really believe, it'll express itself on your countenance. Ooh-wee. So they be looking at you all twisted. Yeah, because they thinking is twisted. But God want to unravel your thinking. Say, you can walk this stuff out. You can turn your life around. You can walk with him and he'll help you get a healing. The doctor say no healing. What did God say? What did he say? Ain't no help for my marriage. What did God say? Did God tell you that? Wasn't no help? Did God tell you that? Huh? Did he tell you that your business wasn't going to thrive? No. But you won't say, walk it out. Mm-hmm. When he tell you to do something, you should do it. Oftentimes, you know, this is why I say, you know, look at all these seats empty this Sunday morning. Do you know why? Because somehow people didn't think they was going to hear from God. Look back at the camera and say, and you're going to miss out. Because when you believe, you show. When you soak it in pouting, you stay home. If you ain't sick. Tell somebody, I'm so glad you're here this morning. So watch this. This is why you don't run from big tasks. Why? When you do what God tells you to do, he includes himself in what you're doing. My goodness. When you do, say, I'm a doer. When you do what he tells you to do, he includes himself in that. Let's just say you got a back problem. Look this way, please. You got a back problem. They used to. They don't do it now because they don't know if you're going to fall out and sue them at the altar. But in the old church, they tell you to touch your toes. Run. Do something. Are they trying to show off? No. they know that if you don't attempt to do anything, God can't include himself in it. You say, give the tithe. All them people want is your money. You ain't got no money. You behind on everything. And the $5 that you got ain't even going to keep one of them bubs on. So they tell you, give the $5. And when you give the $5, then release your faith out there for something. Why? Because when you give the $5, you need $5,000. God includes himself in that. He even will deal with cheap people and people in their right mind. How does he deal with them people? He say, I know you ain't going to do nothing unless I go first. Just make a vow. I know you ain't going to do it. So you just make a vow. You just promise me that when you see me move, you're going to do what you told me that you're going to do, and then I'm going to include myself in the rest of it. That you can make a vow, then you do it, and then God includes himself in what you need. I'm telling you, some of you, you're in a good place. I'm in a good place. I'm so glad I came this morning. He gives you big tasks because he gives you things bigger than your ability. If you working on what you can working on, you just working on you. That ain't God yet. God give you stuff to do that's bigger than you. He'll put you in a relationship that you can't fix. And I told my wife, I said, he'll hook people up sometime with, and they both get in a relationship. They both sinners, you know what I'm saying? But then he'll save one because he knows the one will listen to him. But he saves the one because he know this person over here listen to him. But they not going to listen to him with a straight shot. So he'll hook me up with her because he knows that co-pastor going to listen to God. So he get us in a marriage where we, in, I ain't talking about this girlfriend, boyfriend junk. I'm talking about marriage. Well, we in a covenant now, and so we're counting on each other to be in a place with God. But his real emphasis wasn't really even on her. He just know how much I love her and I'm going to listen to her. So he talks directly to her and let her talk to me. I'm talking to somebody that you ready to get a divorce, but God puts you in that relationship because he knew that he could talk to you and he wants you to talk to them. Now he included. Say, walk with me, God. So Enoch is walking, go to 1 Samuel 17. He's walking with God. He give you a task bigger than you so he can be included in the task. That's why he'll tell people, go walk through the house. Hey, my credit bad. I knew your credit was bad when I told you to go walk through the house. Go test drive the car. That car not going to last. They're going to give you, you think you got something, it's a piece of junk. They're going to give you $1,200 for it. My credit bad. They're not going to approve me. Go talk to the people. You go in there, they'll approve you. You don't go in there. When he tell you to go in there, you ain't even got $1,200 because now the engine blowed up and you got to tow it to the yard. At least you would have got the $1,200 and a car payment. I'm talking about he gets included in it when you position yourself right. In 1 Samuel, are you in 1 Samuel? Let's look at it. And this is a big problem in the body of Christ because they don't really see this stuff as walking by faith. You got to include God if you want to win. You're losing because you ain't included him. Right? How do I know? There's some things in life that you got to get hot off the press. Tell somebody to say hot off the press, hot off the press. Meaning you got to get it in a specific moment for God. Watch that. Watch this. And you got to do it immediately. If you think about it, it's going to change the outcome. Because the more you think about it, doubt will creep in. Are you getting anything? When you can't get it secondhand, so I can't be dependent on you to feed me all the time. You got to get it straight from God. And when you get it straight from God, then you got to do it immediately. If you delayed obedience is disobedience, and then you're trying to work it and God won't move in it because you got to do it immediately when he tell you to do it. Why? Because this is signifying that I have heard from God and I don't question God. I do what he tell me to do when he tell me to do it. Just like that. And then you start seeing the proof that it worked. You don't delay no more. You've been saying, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I already heard from God. So that's why preachers ask people, have you prayed about it? Because you shouldn't be doing nothing if you ain't. If faith don't take you there, you shouldn't be going there anyway. If faith don't get it done, you shouldn't be doing it in the first place. Because faith is what pleases God in Hebrews 11, 6, and faith is what get God involved. And what we're suffering from in the world, we're suffering from it in the world, and we're suffering from it in the body of Christ, is that all people want to do is shout and run and have good church services. And this is why Jesus says, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? Not you at some prayer meeting that you ain't even concerned about nothing. You just going out for some ritual. You repeating what somebody else has said. You trying to do like some old church mama or somebody else. And them people, they going on to be with the Lord. But you're not. You're stuck here. And you got to live by the same faith that they live if you want the kind of results that they live. They'll talk about how they came out of marital problems and how their husband or their wife and they went through such and such. And then you looking at them from a grandchild or a great-grandchild, and you didn't know that Big Mama was a mess when she was 25 and God saved her. That your papa was a mess. That he wasn't no good man at 30, but at 60, she was glad that she married him. Why? Because God started telling them how to do things, and they did it, and he included himself in that. Tell somebody, say, get God involved. You talking about you won't change, but you ain't never went to get God involved. Say, get God involved. You talk about you want to be healed and delivered from all these tormentings in your mind, but you ain't never got God involved. But if you'll get God involved, God will do something. Say, walk with God. In 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to start at about verse number 8. I'm going to read a little bit. Can you handle that? Plan. Cuddling people that you should be putting pressure on them. All they do is pout and try to manipulate people rather than putting pressure on them. Live by your faith. I'm trying. Well, you ain't trying hard enough. Just whining and complaining all the time. And then they wonder why they stuck outside the promise. But that's revelation in that by itself. You wondering why people wondering why they stuck outside the promise, because all you do is whine and murmur and complain. And that keeps you in these vicious cycles of nothingness. But you coming out of nothingness to abundance and surplus, to healing and deliverance and finding your peace. You coming out into some milk and some honey, honey, because you're going to shut your big mouth and start putting the word of God in your mouth and start confessing the word of God. If you ain't talking God talk, keep your mouth closed. You a Christian. You don't get to think what you want to think. Look this way, please. You don't get to say what you want to say. You a Christian. Say, I'm a Christian. I watch what I think. I watch what I say. God tells me what to believe. Say, I'm a Christian. I watch what I think. I watch what I say. God tells me what to believe. You don't get to believe. I can't believe that. That's a lie. I can't believe that God will do that. That's a lie. You can believe whatever you want to believe because he gave us choice. You can believe whatever you want to believe or not believe it. I don't know. That just seems impossible for me. That's right. If you separate it, you talk about the I am. I'm possible. Whatever God want to put through me and work through me, it's possible through me. I'm possible. It's possible for me. Whatever God put inside of me, whatever God tell me to do, it's possible for me. I am possible. Whatever my future is, it is possible for me. Whatever God has got for me ahead, it's possible for me. Say, it's possible for me. Samuel, 1 Samuel 17. Are you there? It said, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel. He said, why do you come out and line up for, this is the devil talking. Because always remember when you read this, Goliath is the type of the devil, or Goliath is the type of demon. And they talk. This is why you, when people call themselves speaking on the Lord's behalf, you got to find the spirit behind what they're saying. Because you can hear it. I know when I'm talking to a person and that's not you. Because I know your spirit. So your words, this is why a lot of times when people come to church, mother, they keep their mouth shut. Because they don't want you to discern their spirit. So they know they can live that lie for 2 hours and just sit there and look holy, and they know the devil is working through them. And then you get in the parking lot and they call themselves prophesying and speaking over your life, but you know that spirit is wrong behind what they're saying. And because sometimes people will call themselves speaking into you, but it's of the devil, because what God told you to do was harder than that. And it was hard. I'm preaching this real good. It was harder than that because he know, you know, you're not going to get it done unless you include him in it. And so I know I'm not listening to that because that's too easy and it don't require no God in that. I'm not listening to that and I ain't listening to you. Tell somebody, don't look at nobody. Say, go on about your business before I have to. Tell them, say, go on about your business before I have to. I think I'm going to listen to this on the way home. What he has for you to do is tougher than that. Now look at three people. Say, stop looking for easy. Because when you're looking for easy, tell them, say, the devil is leading you. Say, stop looking for easy. You're looking for easy and the devil is leading you. It don't require you to include God nowhere in that. Say, stop looking for easy. The devil is leading you. Look back at your life. All the easy turned out to nothing. And the hard stuff you want at because God was included. Tell somebody, say, I'm going to get God included. You can do whatever you want to. You can go wherever you want to. You can listen to whoever you want to. I'm going to get God included. I'm going to get the can-do God involved in this situation because I know he can do anything. And he is ready. He is waiting. He is willing to do it if we'll just include him in it. I'm going to keep him in there. He says, am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man. Oh, he's really talking about, because Saul's supposed to be a man of God. Saul wasn't ordinary. Saul got stripped. Let me pause right there. Saul wasn't ordinary. And he was anointed. And I don't know if he was a prophet or not, but he prophesied. And he got stripped. Because really he started trying to do stuff and didn't include God. And see, you don't want to be that person who you are anointed, you are a called, and then you wind up in a season of disobedience and God strip you. And when he strip you, he don't strip you unless he's already replaced you. Because God is a businessman and he knows somebody got to be willing to do what he's called them to do. Because he ain't got no body in the earth. He only got a body when he's working through you and I. Are you following what I'm saying? And so when you don't do it and you get stripped, it don't make no difference whether you live 100 years or another 50 years. God has already stripped you. And what he going to do, he'll let you live long enough to see your replacement doing what you refuse to do. And I'm telling somebody today, if you will roll with God, God will take you there. He's like the Staple Singers. He'll take you there. If you want to go there, God will get you there. But you're going to do it his way. Tell somebody, say, include God in it. So here you go. You got this boy out there. You got David out there. David comes. I'm not going to get very far today, but it's okay. You'll come back next week, won't you? But David is out there, And David is really been summoned by his father to take them lunch. That's all David thought he was going to do. I ain't going to fight no giant. I'm going to take lunch. And David goes out there. He says, if he's able to fight and kill me, this is what the giant says. He says, we will become your servants. But if I overcome him and kill him, you're going to be our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistines said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man that's willing to fight. On hearing the word, Saul and the rest of them, they scared and dismayed. They terrified. And here David is. David done loaded up, verse 20. David done loaded up the sheep, the buggy like his daddy did it. Jesse done told him, and take this food out there to the brother, his brothers. And when David got there, he left the things with the keeper because he heard this Philistine. And watch this, verse 22. David left, they all out there crying. And David left the things with the keeper of supplies. Watch this. And David ran to the battle lines. Boy, there's revelation in that. David runs to the battle. See, when you got a history with God, things that scare other people don't scare you. I don't care if it's some disease, they say, whatever it is. I got a history with God. David said, I done killed lions, I done killed bears. And I know God will kill this joker if he get close enough to him. If I get my hands on him, if I get close enough to him, I'm going to do something bad to him. He better get on up out of here. Because David got history with God. See, when your mind, I don't care if it's a headache and God, you don't lay hands on your body, you don't heal yourself of headaches, you don't lay your hands on your stomach and you don't heal yourself of that, you don't have swelling on your body, you don't put your hands on that, and then you get some bad diagnosis from the doctor, put your hand on. If God can do that, he can do this. Tell somebody, say, I got a history with God. I have been above and I have been beneath. I've lived in plenty and I've lived in lack. And I have never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. If God will give me that, he'll give me this. I got a history with God. And my history sets me up for my future breakthrough. I'm telling somebody else, go back and recall your history and get yourself ready for your breakthrough. Go back and recall the things from your past. Go back and revisit your old landmarks. You got a history with God. Why you tripping? Why you tripping? You got a history with him. You've seen him do it for other people. He'll do it for you too. And here David is. David, as he's talking with them, Goliath came out, stepped out behind the lines, and he began to, talk his stuff again. Verse 24, when the Israelites saw this man, they all fled and were in great fear. See, no matter what your occupation is or your assignment is, how small it is, you always got to be looking for God. David thought he was just a carryout boy. Tell somebody, say, I'm more than a carryout. He didn't know he was going to be in a battle with a giant that day. It don't make no difference whether he knew it or not. He knows God. He knows God. Because he knows God, he know God gonna endorse him. And as he includes God in this thing, God is going to run this boy by the time. And David is standing there when he done all for the men who killed the Philistines and removed the disgrace from Israel. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And his brother said to him, he's angry with David. He said, why have you come down here? And with whom do you leave these little sheep? See, what is that about? He's trying to minimize David. Don't let nobody push you down. See, just because you at some high status in the world don't make you a big shot. Just because you got money, what is money if you dying from cancer? Huh? It's nothing. Just because you got some lavish house or you got some popular, powerful position, that don't make you nothing. And these guys, his brothers, are trying to minimize the fact that David is a sheep
boy. That David cleans sheep. And watch this. David ain't even really old enough to be in the army. They left him back. He would probably have been disqualified. I'm speaking to some people that people have tried to minimize your life because you don't have the education status, that you didn't come from no family with no silver spoon in your mouth, that maybe you got a history or a past of incarceration. Maybe you had children out of wedlock. But tell somebody, say, don't minimize me. God is with me. I'm not going to be minimized. I'm not going to let you push me down, because if God give you a big task and you listen and allow people to push you down, then you never go after your big breakthrough. And here David is. David goes out there to these guys. David says, I know how, they talk about how conceited he was. And David is coming there to fight. And as the Philistine moved closer to the attack, what did David do? I like how this one read. David ran quickly towards the battle. See, when you really want a breakthrough, you run towards stuff other people are running away from. Shout, run to it 3 times. See, stuff that other people can't handle, they're not going to be able to overcome it because they ain't going to include God. But you know how to include God. Say, run to it. When you run towards that, God will get included in that. And then God, that situation took David to another level of prominence in that area. He kills the giant. You know the story. But it released him into a place of prominence. And it was, see, this battle was qualifying him for kingship. Kingship ain't about what we see. It's not about so much people serving you. That's our current president problem. But kingship is about learning and showing people you have the ability to serve them. Kingship, leadership, is about serving other people beyond your ability because you get God involved. That's why he says, and Jesus says this. He says, y'all over here fighting about who's gonna be the greatest. He said, if you want to be great, you become the minister of the servant. And I ain't never seen so many sorry, not in this church, but sorry ministers of the gospel today. All they want to be is served. They don't want to serve nobody. And they disqualify. But I want to tell somebody, you qualify today. You qualify. You more than a carryout. You are whatever they do, bringing the food to them. Go grab your Bibles, and I want you to go to Hebrews 11 and 6. When you're walking by faith with God, he'll send you on the front line to destroy demonic enemies on his behalf. Run towards the battle. God is going to support you. That's somebody's word right there. Don't run from what you're dealing with right now. Run towards it. I don't care how. I don't care how it looks. I'm speaking into you right now. You should get that. But if you don't get nothing else, you don't run away from that in this season. You run straight towards it. And God, if you include God, he'll give you the victory. Run straight towards it. Don't back down. Don't even blink. Don't even shudder. Don't bat an eye. Tell somebody, say, confront the issue and run towards it. You ain't got the peace that you deserve because you've been running from things that had you just fought that situation, you'd already been way past that. You ain't got your economic breakthroughs because God, when he was challenging you, you was running from it. But now it's time for you to run towards it. Say, confront the issue and run to it. God's trying to bless you. He intends for you to get him involved, brother. He intends for you, as the man of your house, to come to him. Mm-hmm. He's expecting you, mama. Why are you spending money on counseling when you ain't never even talked to the counselor? Why are you spending money on that junk and y'all struggling? You ain't got no money, and them jokers riding around in Benzes because you profess to be a Christian, but you won't give no legs to your walk. You will not allow God to talk to you and counsel you and tell you what you need to do, and you're giving away resources that you could have been redirecting somebody else. Say, include God in what you're doing. Hebrews 11 and 6. Are you there? Prepare for victory. How do you prepare for victory? You get God included and you run towards whatever it is. Prepare for victory. I'm trying to get that in your spirit. Prepare for a victory. You get a victory, you know you're in a fight. The outcome's going to be good, though. Prepare for a victory. Two people got it. Don't be running from conflict right now. I don't know who I'm talking to. Don't be running from no conflict right now. You go right into it. I ain't talking about acting ignorant. I ain't talking about acting fleshy. I'm saying confront the thing that's confronting you. Whatever that thing is, every time you get to a certain point in your life, it comes up. It pushes you back down. That means that you ain't won. Every time it show back up, that means that you didn't win the last time. I mean, this time, destroy it. This time, make sure that it'll think twice before it pops its head up coming towards you. So I'm preparing for victory. Faith connects God to whatever you're doing in his name. That's my point. Faith is what connects you to God. People say prayer. It ain't just simply prayer. If you ain't praying in faith, you just running your mouth. I'm not sure what happened. If you're not praying in faith, you're not talking to God. You're talking at him. Is this too simple? I keep trying to tell you, I don't know why y'all come to church and you don't take notes and then you don't even listen to the stuff online. And then you be wondering why you can't get nothing to work because all your answers are being given to you practically that you can take it home and do it. And this is why I don't do stuff for people. I only teach you how to do it. If you don't do it, you don't get done. But faith is what connects God to you, connects him to what you're doing. It ain't just simply praying, because if you ain't praying in faith, you're just babbling. You're just talking. You got to come to him believing that he is and that he is a rewarder. So when I get out of prayer, when you get out of prayer, your faith should be bubbling. Almost like saying, come on, devil, wherever you at, you ain't got to look for me. I'm looking for you right now. Wherever you at, it's on. But it connects you to God. Without faith, what is it? It is impossible for he who what? Must what? That he exists and that he is a re of the person who's doing what? Are you seeking him? And if you're seeking him, are you diligent about it? How many times have you asked God? How many times have you prayed? Mm-hmm. How many times have you gotten up and prayed, got up from prayer and then looked for your result or looked for something to do? Watch this. And when you hear from heaven, Brianna, it's not a struggle because God is precise. And like I've been talking for a long time, God don't hit us with these many words. I've seen people go off in tongues 10 or 15 minutes, and all they gave was 5 words in English. I'm preaching this real good. I'm going to help some people up in here because y'all got this entertainment stuff on y'all. And so, like, I've been going for about 40 minutes right now. When God tell you something, it's just a few words. Why? Because he ain't trying to confuse you. And if you'll just include him in them steps, tell somebody, give him a high five, say, get ready for your breakthrough. Get ready for your victory. Get ready for your turnaround. Get ready for your coming out. Get ready for your reversal. He ain't trying to confuse you. 1 John 5. Get him involved. Walk by faith. Say, walk by faith. Start believing for your healing again. Start believing for your heat, your financial increase again. How do you do that? You start sowing seed by faith. How do you prepare for healing? You start trying to do something that you couldn't do before. You walking by faith. You trying to recover a relationship. You don't try to salvage no relationship or no marriage by walking in the house with your lips poked out. Not talking to the person. You ain't trying. You're a liar. You're not trying to salvage that relationship because you ain't doing nothing to try to help or bring the woman closer to you. You driving her away from you. Faith is doing something. You're not trying to come up economically. You're not looking for a job. How you think money going to drop from heaven into your, I'm helping you. You think it's just going to drop from heaven into your lap? No, you got to go get a job. Don't look at nobody, say, and keep it. I shared with them, Justin, the other week, like people that are dealing with depression. First of all, anytime you hear the word depression, you can't just slip into it. Because that's a spirit that you won't confront. You can't just slip into it. What do? Worldly people have figured out that you can alter this. If it ain't medical, right, it's dealing with thoughts. So sometimes the thoughts can be so overpowering. But you can bypass it. How did I tell you they said you can bypass it? You can stand in a mirror and just start smiling, and it'll start reversing that heaviness on you. Look at somebody and just start showing your teeth, because I ain't sure if they're depressed or not. Just start looking at them. We ain't going to cast it out. We're going to smile that demon out. Show them your 22s, 32s, 13, or anything you bought. Just show them today. Because we want to make sure everybody is happy. Say, I'm happy. Say, my soul is happy. I got joy bells in my spirit and in my soul. I feel good all down in the core of my being. Shout, I feel good 3 times. How do you overcome this world? This world is so stinking wicked. And I can't figure out why Christians trust it. Or people in the world. I can't figure out why y'all trust these ungodly people. They function off and in a wicked system. And he reminds us, you're not of this world. You're just in this world. But this world is a sin-sick society. And God give us this mean to overcome anything in the world by faith, we won't do it. Mm-hmm. We'll just allow the devil to keep pushing us down. I figured out, as I've done this for many years, that most of the time, if a person is like extremely broken, God won't send them to me. Because the way he used me, they might get broke worse. And they won't stay long enough. I'm gonna tell you where they come from in the spirit. I'm gonna tell you how I am in natural. Like, I don't like fixing anything behind the person. So, like, I'll take it all the way apart. Because I don't have time to try to figure out what stopped them. So I got to break it all the way down. I'm preaching this real good. I'm helping some of you understand me. And then I'll start from the beginning. I don't want you to tell me where you stopped or what caused you to stop or where your struggles was. I got to start all the way from the beginning once I break it down. So most of the time he'll send people who are somewhat together, and then he launched them into their future. If you hang around here long enough, you're going to be launched into your future. You're not going to be sick. You're not going to be broke. You're not going to be depressed. You're not going to be addicted. You're not going to be bound by some drugs and some alcohol, some sex. Say freedom today. Freedom today. I declare freedom over you in whatever area you stuck in. Whatever demon has convinced you that they belong, it is a demon. I bind them and I loose them from your life. You can lift your hands, because I know I can see it on some of you right now. I loose it from your life. You can keep it if you want to. I don't care. Because I figured out you can't cast something off of a person. They want you to touch them. I don't want to touch you. They think that you can't do this. And I've done it too many times. But I loose it from your life right now. wherever it came from, however it got there, whoever you have entwined your life or your soul with, I sever that. I sever that from your life right now. If it's from a history in your family, I sever that. You're not them. You're not them. You come through them. You are not them. And it's freedom for you today. Economic freedom, healing freedom, soulless freedom. Let it come forward now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Satan, be gone now. Give the Lord a hand praise. I'm not done. Let me give you this one more scripture, then I'm going to stop because we got to do communion. Can you come back next week and get the rest? I don't know about no winning season, but this is a winning year for the people of God. I'm telling you, you got to work hard to screw this up. Look this way, please. You got to work hard to screw this up. This year has been, I don't care what it looked like. He warned us this day one of this year. I don't care what's happening to your left and right. If you get caught up in that, you just get caught up in it. That stuff and things that's happening in the world ain't got nothing to do with the body of Christ this year. This, I don't know about no winning season. This is a overcoming, winning year for the people of God. And you got to work hard to screw this up. Like real hard. Because it's been ordained by heaven. Can devil stop God? If they can't stop God, they can't stop you. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. If they can't stop God, they can't stop you. Don't get fascinated with Hollywood. Those are not demons. That's entertainment. It ain't entertainment. It's devilish. First John 5:4. Everyone born of God wins. It don't say that, but it say that. Are you born again? Are you born again? Everyone born of God overcomes the world. Not be overcome by the world. Everyone born of God, Donna, overcomes the world. They're not overcome by the world. So you, if you take, some of you taking unnecessary losses. But you're gonna flip that. You're going to start winning this thing. I say you're going to flip that, and you're going to start winning this thing. Or you're not going to be able to stay here because I ain't going to come down. My preaching ain't going to come down to meet you. You got to come up. This ain't going to be the place. There's plenty of good churches in this city, but I'm not coming down to meet you. I promise you I'm not coming down to meet you. You're going to have to come up. If you come up, you'll win. If you'll come up, y'all will be happy in that house and stop and won't be acting like heathens. If you'll come up, you'll get your promotion. If you'll come up, healing is available for you. If you'll come up, y'all minds are getting regulated up in that place and them spirits have been trying to torment you, you'll be all right. But I'm not coming down to meet you. I promise you, I'm telling you, I'm not. Tell somebody, it's time for you to come up. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Who is it? You and I. Through Christ. Jesus is in heaven. The Holy Spirit is in you to help you win. If you don't ignore what you're hearing, I keep going back to this. Stop talking to everybody about what you're going through. You run, I'm going to look up here. You run your mouth too much. I ain't talking about one or two. I ain't talking about somebody that has authority over your life that can help you. I'm talking about people just like you. They in the same thing that you in. And you talking to them. They don't like their husband. You talking to them. They don't like their wife. You talking to them. They don't like Jesus. And before you know it, you back out there doing the same craziness that God delivered you from. Stop talking to everybody about your problems. Because sometimes people are screwing you up with good intentions. Have you ever been screwed up by somebody and they had good intentions? Yeah, because your mom and dad didn't help you with your homework. You done brought the homework home, took the homework back to school. Every answer was wrong. That's why I was telling you that was told you that was wrong. Who is it that overcome the world? Say you and I. Only the person who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. I'm going to give you this and I got to get out of here. So let me just get through it. A born-again believer, number one, should not be living a life of defeat. And if you are a born-again believer, that's a cowardice spirit that runs from conflict. The only way you get victory, you have to fight sometimes. Sometimes you're going to be in a fight. The outcome is what you're looking for. A born-again believer should not be accepting and living a life of defeat. We're going to win around here. You're going to win if you hang in there. The born-again believer should not listen to this. They should not feel overwhelmed and overpowered. There have been times in my personal life, and I got to get out of here, where the enemy has tried to overwhelm me. A lot of times, I say this to my wife. I say, people think I ain't got no story because I don't tell it all the time. Some devils ain't worth talking about. But I just had to go to God. I would intensify whatever I was doing for God. I'm going to help you. I'm just talking about me. You ain't got to do this. You do whatever you God tell you to do. I would intensify whatever. Anytime I felt overwhelmed or felt like I was being overpowered, that's an indication that my spirit and my faith are low. My son's car was knocking. And during the research, he was researching. I'd already told him, but you know, like certain vehicles, like he has that. I won't even tell you, but like certain luxury vehicles, you can't let the gas go low because you'll think something wrong with your vehicle, but it'll start knocking because you don't let the fuel get low, and the combustion or the power is off in it now. So I would just, Olivia, I would just intensify. I don't need a lot of things other people need. I figured out what, just like Hezekiah, sometimes when you low on faith and you low in your spirit, you ain't got time to be entertaining other people. You got to turn your face to the wall. And if you're going to get up on the wall, also, don't get by me. Get you. Because I ain't got time to be distracted with you. I'm already low in faith. I'm already low in the spirit. I ain't got no time to be helping you right now. Do you know when you're not in a season to help other people? Okay, then don't be preaching to them. Don't be teaching them. Don't call yourself prophesying to them because you low in the spirit. So you're going to probably be off most of the time. So my wife will tell you, I'll just get away to myself. I'll be in my office. I'll isolate myself, right? I'll walk through the house and be doing what I got to. She'll tell you, I'll put my headphones on and I'm in the house with them, but I'm not in the house with them. I'm talking to God right now. You got to know when to turn your face. There's sometimes you ain't got time to be waiting for no church fast. Them demons is all over you. The Bible, Isaiah said, you can break, especially like we got people, and God said, and I'm going to say it again because I don't know if you hear it or not online, but he said it last week, do not slip back into messing with this alcohol or wine. Don't do that. It's going to open you back up to stuff that it took you forever to get it closed. So I'll just turn. When I'm low on my faith, I can't be in a room for 5 and 6 and 7 hours. It's just too much going on in my house. I got still got, So I put my headphones on, I put a prayer on, and I'll be walking, I'll put some soaking music on, I'll just talk to the Lord. Because I got to get built back up. Why? It's too many people counting on me to be low. You don't get a chance sometimes to redo. We're not in a season, Sister Olivia, of redoing stuff. Tell somebody, you got to get it right the first time. You got to get it right the first time. You got to get it right the first time. You ain't in no season to keep repeating. You ain't got, matter of fact, we done wasted so much time, you ain't got no more time to do the same stuff God delivered you out of. So believers shouldn't be feeling overcome. What should we do? We conquer. Say that three times. I conquer, I conquer, I conquer. Meaning that I don't run from fights. We find a way to overcome. The Lord sent me to tell somebody, and I'm going to end with this, to tell you, stop living in defeat. I don't know who this, who you are, but you've built up a home in that. When you recognize them, don't spend the night over their house. Don't let them pull you into that. I'm talking about in the spirit. I ain't talking about naturally. I'm saying don't let them pull you into that, because they built a life in defeat. And God was, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you was doing well until you start partnering with that in them. Can they be in the same church as you? What? Because you, we ain't even been trained to resist that because we're in the same church. And now you partnering with them. And you've been out that for years, but they done built a whole life of it. They don't see a silver lining in nothing. It's always dark for them. It's always down. It's always something. Shout, I ain't living in defeat no more. You can do whatever you want to do. He said, overcome whatever the world is doing for you. You are man of God. You are woman of God. Overcome it by faith. You are man of God. You are woman of God. You are child of God. God said you have been enabled to conquer. And this is not the time. Say, it's not the time three times. It's not the time. It's not the time to whine and cry. But confront and conquer. It's time to confront it and conquer it. You can't move on to next until you annihilate everything that's been stopping you. Because devils have a way of tracking you until you destroy it completely. They'll track you. Let's get out of here. Say, confront and conquer. Whatever it is, you're going to destroy it this year. It's not going to keep setting you back. It's not going to withstanding. If you sick of something, you ain't got to, whatever. You're hurting, you can sit down. Confront it, conquer it. Confront it, conquer it. I'm going to tell you how good God is to you. Look this way, please. Most of your public demons, God will destroy. Your private stuff, you got to defeat. David fought Goliath in public, but he had his own internal demons in his house that he had to defeat. I'm preaching this real good. Stuff that will destroy your reputation and credibility, God will defeat that for you. All this secret stuff, you got to defeat it. He'll help you. But if you don't do it, if you don't start walking by some faith, if you don't develop an overcomer's mindset, that thing will live right in your house. And then we come in public. Nobody pays attention to you when you're in public because you look normal. Your stuff that's defeating you is what's when you get behind closed doors. So you say, don't nobody love me. Ain't nobody paying attention to you. When you in public, God has destroyed them enemies. That's why you look normal. Everybody, we love everybody in here. Nobody's ignoring you. But the stuff in your private chamber, you don't want the whole church knowing about it. You don't want to get up and testify about all that unless God tell you to do that. It'll ruin your credibility. Some things you take to the grave, it's just between you and God. Some things I don't want to share with you. Some things you don't need to know about me. You'll lose respect. And it don't matter if it's 35 years ago. Come on, lift your hands towards the heavens.